Hello and welcome to this episode of Yellow and Blues. I'm your host Srinipath Sarthi. Unfortunately, it's just me on this episode of the podcast, as my co-host Venkat is unavailable due to personal circumstances. Hopefully, he will be back next week. So let's have a quick look at what's happening in the world of cricket before we probably take a look at India's T20I victory and the ODI victory that they had today. In terms of what else is happening, I mean, last week we talked about the Sri Lanka versus Australia series and Sri Lanka losing the first test. But what a comeback it was from Sri Lanka in the second test against Australia. They won actually by an innings and 39 runs. Dinesh Chandimal got a double 100 and Prabhat Jayasurya on his debut took 12-4. So it was a great comeback. It probably is, you know, something that we do need to keep an eye out in terms of from a test championship perspective, because that India's loss earlier against England last week makes a difference, and Australia's loss now pushes them down to second place. India are already I think from a points perspective, actually no, because it's being percentage, isn't it? So it's India are down in fifth position, just behind Sri Lanka and Pakistan. South Africa and Australia are up there in the table. So India do need to win some test matches to make sure that they progress to the test championship. Australia losing is good. South Africa are obviously coming over to England next. So England winning against South Africa will potentially move them up the table and South Africa down. So it's all getting interesting. People aren't keeping an eye out on probably the test championship table at the minute. It's just being focused on individual games. But this will all matter each match. So, you know, a win and a loss. So that's probably in terms of what's happening elsewhere. India obviously lost the test match, although the test series itself was drawn 2-2. I think when we recorded the podcast last week, it was the day before, and we more or less expected India to lose, which they went on to lose. It's just unbelievable batting by Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow. Anyway, moving on, I think India moved on from there very quickly. Rohit Sharma back leading the T20 team, the first T20I in Southampton. Surya Kumar Yadav and Deepak Hooda studied the ship, I would say, until Hardik Pandya came in. Quick blitz, 51 of 33, 198 for 8. You know, that was the first game under the Josh Butler's official captaincy. Obviously, Josh Butler has captained a number of times the England white ball team when Owen Morgan was not there, but this was the first time he was formally taking as captain. There were obviously some new faces in England, like Harry Brook, etc. India's bowling, I mean, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, although he only took one wicket, it was exceptional. The opening spell, you know, Ashdeep Singh as well, the initial bowling, white ball generally doesn't swing, and, you know, Bhuvneshwar Kumar actually swinging the ball was a sight to watch. We'll talk about the second ODI as well, where Bumrah did something similar, but it was the Hardik Pandya show in terms of the first T20I, where he was the man of the match. It bodes very, very well for India, Hardik Pandya being in form, not just with batting, but, you know, having scored that 51, but also picking up 4 wickets in bowling. A fully fit all-rounder in terms of Hardik Pandya gives a huge balance for the Indian side. Obviously, people like Bumrah and Kohli, who played in the test match, didn't play in that first game. They were not in the squad, essentially. And the likes of Rishabh Pant, etc. So, Ishan Kishan didn't do much justice for himself, you know, to hold his place in that game. It was surprising, actually, for me to see, like, you know, they opted for Dinesh Karthik as the wicketkeeper rather than Ishan Kishan. It sort of tells you that, like, you know, there's still a long way to go for Ishan Kishan to become a better keeper. You know, so India at this point are probably quite blessed, actually, in terms of keeper batsmen, you know, whether it's Dinesh Karthik, Ishan Kishan, Rishabh Pant, Sanju Samson. There are at least four possible options for a keeper batsman to go to that Australia. All of these T20Is essentially is a build up towards the World Cup in Australia, and Dinesh Karthik is definitely making sure he is on that plane. The second ODI was again an easy, in under T20 circumstances, I'd call an easy win. 170 for 8. Rohit Sharma, thereabouts, scoring 31. Rishabh Pant back, Virat Kohli back. It's no secret now on this podcast, at least not from me, in terms of I don't think Virat Kohli should be going on that plane to Australia. He's definitely making a case for himself not going, in terms of continuous failures. As far as it's kind of labouring the point of feel, where I keep saying it probably needs to focus on, sorry, the ODI and the tests, and stay out of the T20. There is definitely better place now in terms of that spot. He's just taking a spot. I mean, looking at the first and the second T20I, Deepak Hooda, who scored 33, was left out of the second ODI. Obviously, he was also left out of the third ODI, and again, it's one we'll look at, and Virat Kohli didn't score. He was just scored out of 11. There was two good shots, definitely, a 6 and a 4. Beyond that, there was nothing much. So people like Deepak Hooda, I think, need to be given a consistent opportunity to perform again, even if we pick up Ishan Kishan in place of Virat Kohli. Either Deepak Hooda or Ishan Kishan, either of them, I think would be a good pick. My starting 11, if I look at it in a minute, would probably be Rohit Sharma, Rishabh Pant, Deepak Hooda, or Ishan Kishan, possibly even Shreyas Iyer, although he does struggle against the short ball. Surya Kumar Yadav, Hardik Pandya, Ravindra Jadeja, Dinesh Karthik, Harshal Patel, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, and Jasprit Bumrah. So this the team that played in that second T20, barring Virat Kohli, the one replacement, I think that would probably be the starting 11. And in terms of the other additional players that probably can go, you'd probably pick Ishan Kishan and Ashdeep Singh as the other people on the flight. Potentially, I would say Avesh Khan as well, as an additional. And if you want to keep leg spin on, obviously Yuzi Chahal, he wasn't in there, so Yuzi Chahal as well, to go on the flight. Ravi Bishnoi, probably not. I don't think he's ready yet to travel to the World Cup. Umrah Malik, again, he was given an opportunity in that 30-20, was very, very expensive, went for 56 runs off his four overs. Finally, England coming back into form, David Malan back in 77, Liam Livingstone 42. So there was glimpses, batting first, they were able to score and set a big enough target, which India unfortunately failed. To be honest, Surya Kumar Yadav was the standout batsman, 117. It's a shame that Shreyas Iyer, Dinesh Karthik, Ravindra Jadeja, none of them could actually stay with him to see India chasing 215, got to 198, it looks. But actually, had Surya Kumar Yadav been still there, or one of the other players that stayed with him, Shreyas Iyer, Dinesh Karthik, Ravindra Jadeja, India could potentially have achieved the target, the biggest chase I think India would have had, probably even over to spare. But it bodes plenty of confidence, in the fact that we're not afraid anymore to chase targets like 217, even though we lost wickets early. I think we were sort of 31 for 3, and yet we went down to score 198. Shows you how much strength and depth the Indian batting lineup has. So it seems the preparation seems to be good for, the T20 World Cup 2-1 win. The juggernaut obviously then moved on to the white ball, the ODI series, which in a sense is a preparation for the World Cup next year. It kind of almost looked like, you know, the ODI was also played at frantic pace today. And if you just look at the scorecard, it seems like, you know, it was the England batsman forgot that this was actually a 50-over game and played it as a T20. In fact, all those players from the buzz ball era, from the test, you know, your Root, Stokes, Johnny Bairstow, etc., all returned to the team for the ODI, but it was an absolutely magnificent spell from Jasprit Bumrah. 7.2 overs, 6 for 19, the best ever against England by an Indian bowler in ODI. The opening spell was Bumrah at his best. Modern ace is definitely a modern day great. On the other side, Mohammad Shami did not, you know, sort of, it was relentless, both Bumrah and Shami. And then Prasidh Krishna also, like, you know, chipping in. And then the icing on the cake obviously was Rohit Sharma and Shikhar Dhawan getting to the target of 114, 110, 111, in fact, without losing wicket. So a 10 wicket victory. I think it's the first time England have lost to an opposition by a 10 wicket margin in about 10 years. So the Jos Buttler white ball era hasn't quite started. But I wouldn't write off England. You know, it's, yeah, the test team, like, you know, what, for the last 18 months, they couldn't buy a win. And now they are just playing like the way Morgan's ODI team used to play. And the white ball and the T20 team slightly at the minute are struggling. But given the fact that, you know, it's the same set of players under Morgan that are now playing under Jordan, I wouldn't put it past England to find their form. Sure, they've got a new... It will take a little bit of time for England to find that combination between the new coach and the new captain. If Morgan was still there and they had a new coach, then, you know, it would have been still the Morgan legacy carrying on. Or, you know, if England's former coach was there and, you know, if there was change in one of them, I think they would have probably carried on. But the fact that they have had both a coach and a new captain, it's slightly will take time to gel. You know, even though the team is there, to just make sure that the coach and the captain are going the same direction and the rest of the team. Jos Buttler, absolute champion legend, you know, again, even today, in terms of the batting, while the rest of the team around him fell, he scored a quick fire 30 of 32. So I'm sure England will bounce back, if not necessarily in this series, because India have got an upper hand right now, but I'm definitely sure that they will bounce back. Looking ahead, obviously, there are still two more ODIs this series still left, followed by which India are travelling to West Indies. So we'll have a quick look at the squad that's been announced for West Indies. But yeah, the remaining two ODIs, it's to be played on Thursday and Sunday. Unfortunately, that Virat Kohli was out with a groin strain today. Not that it made that much of a difference, because I don't think he would have got to bat at all. Well, he didn't get to bat at all, even if he was playing. So he'd probably be back for the next game. And India, obviously, as soon as they finish on the 17th here, then head and start to, like, you know, West Indies to play a 3-match ODI series and a 5-match T20I series. It's an interesting squad. Shikhar Dhawan is actually going to be leading that squad, and, you know, Rohit, a lot of the players from this team are, you know, going. Bumrah probably is a miss, and I'm surprised that Kohli is not going as well, because it's a difficult ask. On one side, you think, like, you know, Kohli needs a rest and to get back into form, but then the other side, you feel, well, ODI is where he probably needs to play, you know, gets a longer opportunity, 50 over, one of his favorite formats, and he would do well. Interesting that there is now a lot of calls that are coming out on Kohli. There are a number of ex Indian players that are calling on Kohli to be dropped. We've seen recently Kapil Dev tweet out. I mean, we are well aware of this in terms of, you know, Kohli's form. So for most of us who follow cricket and Indian cricket regularly, we know it's not new. He's not scored a century in 2019. Since 2019, it's well documented. Yes, he's not. He the runs have deserted him. But even looking at that last T20 where I talked about, like, you know, how he only scored 11 runs, but out of the three shots he hit, one was a four and one was a six, and they were such crisp shots. You know, it kind of shows you he's still middling the ball, and he seems to be in terrific form. The only problem is, like, you know, he seems to be getting out quickly. So yeah, fingers crossed again. You know, we'll see how Kohli does. Talking of the West Indies, just going back a minute to the West Indies squad, you know, I suspect this will be the debut for a few players like Ruturaj Kekkavaram. He's obviously only played T20. He's not played ODIs for India, so this will potentially be a debut for Ruturaj Kekkavaram, possibly Ashdeep Singh and a few others. See how India perform. Ravindra Jadeja obviously is going in as the vice captain there. Shubman Gill as another opener. So it must be very, very confusing for Indian players to know who the captain is. It has been such a revolving door since Kohli. There's obviously Kohli, since Kohli retired from the team, or dropped off his captaincy, resigned his captaincy rather, at the beginning of the T20 World Cup, then followed by he was relieved of his ODI captaincy, and then he resigned his T20 captaincy. And since then, we've had Rohit Sharma announced as captain in all formats, but then he was not available for the South Africa series, so Rahul was announced, and then Rahul had to pull out as injury, so Rishabh Pant became the captain. And then once Rishabh Pant, when India went to Ireland, it was Hardik Pandya who was the captain. After that, you know, we came back and it was just Jasprit Bumrah, because Rohit had to pull out. Jasprit Bumrah was a test captain, and then now Rohit Sharma is back as an ODI and T20 captain, and Dhawan is going as the captain. Indian captaincy seems to be, like, you know, being distributed like candies. Anybody can get it these days. There is no consistency. Surely the players must be getting a lot of mixed messages. Hopefully the thread is Rahul Dravid, you know, as coach, still carries on, you know, as the common thread, and is passing the same message rather than the distorted different captains trying different things, and, you know, the players getting confused, etc. I think we do need to get to a point where we need to have a proper captain and a vice captain. If it's Rohit Sharma, Rishabh Pant. If Rohit Sharma is not going, then Rishabh Pant must go, or whoever they decide to choose as vice captain, not necessarily Rishabh Pant, but, you know, because Shikhar Dhawan just seems to be handed over captaincy every now and then. There is no reason why Shikhar Dhawan, and it if Ravindra Jadeja is playing, you know, I would have just said, okay, he's playing across all of those things. Or Hardik Pandya has just come back from injury, he could have gone. Since if he was chosen as the next captain, you know, in terms of in Ireland, he could have just gone in. I'm not sure why suddenly they chose Shikhar Dhawan. What's the need to rest Hardik Pandya? Because he's basically just played a couple of T20s in Ireland, three T20s here and three ODIs. So it's not like, you know, he's played a lot of cricket. He's just made his comeback to the Indian team. Surely he could have travelled to West Indies. But anyway, that's the next team. So we'll obviously, next week, by the time we record the next podcast, we would have finished the England ODI series. Hopefully it'll be a win. And then head off to, like, the West Indies. So we'll preview the West Indies series. Until then, and hoping Venkat will be back for the next episode of this podcast. Until then, if you like the sound of this podcast, do like us and subscribe to us on Spotify or any other podcast app through which you get your podcast. Do rate us on those apps and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is LONBlue. Till next week, goodbye.